Hey, everybody. Welcome to Tourism Media Mayhem, the podcast attempting to tame the tiger that is media buying for destinations.
Are we going to talk about Tiger King on this episode? Because that's all I thought about when you said that.
Tigers. No, I'm thinking like circuses, like Siegfried and Roy type.
Oh.
Because this is just a madhouse, right?
Okay, I was like struggling to find that connection. Okay. I'm there.
Well, and I'm a tiger. You know, from University of Missouri, you know, the Tigers.
Okay. Also wasn't sure where that was going, but we'll move on. I'm Sasha.
And I'm Josh. And we're your hosts for this madness.
Yes. Glad to be here.
I'm glad you are.
Oh, thank you.
I'm glad that you're glad.
That was nice. Are you going to be nice this episode, Josh?
Absolutely not.
Have
you seen any good movies lately?
Yes. Well, it depends what people's interests are, but I did see the latest Spider-Man and I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. What about you?
I recently watched Red Notice. It's a dumb action movie on Netflix. I mean, Ryan Reynolds and The Rock and Gal Gadot, like you can't go wrong, right?
Great lineup.
It made me think a lot about like Indiana Jones and that sort of stuff. I think they even teased the soundtrack from Indiana Jones in it at one point. But then I got to thinking, like, I want an experience like that. Can we get a destination to, like, host, like, an archaeological, like, adventure?
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
But I did like Red Notice as well. I love Gal Gadot. She's great.
Oh, yeah.
And Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
I guess The Rock's good, too. I guess they're all good.
I mean, it was a mediocre movie, let's be honest. But it was fun. And they want to be Indiana Jones. So,
do you like the Marvel world and all those type shows?
Yeah, okay. I suppose.
Okay. I'm still unclear about your response. Is that a yes?
I mean, like they're entertaining, or but like I'm not a no. like in it.
Okay. You don't follow the stories.
I don't care all that much, no.
Yeah, I don't either. My husband does, though. He's a guru. And I just like to go and be entertained. And then he tries to tell me, and I'm like, you can tell me. I won't remember. Like, as soon as we leave, I will forget. And then we watch the next one. And he's like, remember when this happened? I'm like, no, it's gone. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I did my best.
That sounds like our conversation, Sasha. I tell you things, but you don't listen.
Yeah, and selective hearing, maybe? I don't know.
Poor Jason.
No, that's mainly with you.
Rude.
Just with you.
Okay, enough of this. Let's get into the meat of the episode, shall we?
Let's do it.
So I thought today I would just talk at you about targeting tactics and like how to use what and when and where and why.
Nice. Important things.
Yeah, because there are a lot of different ways you can target your ad buys, especially on the internet.
Yes.
And so thinking about which tactics to use is kind of, you know, important. I think, anyway, maybe.
Maybe. No one cares what you think. No, just kidding. It is important. We're talking about media buying. It is important.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yes, I support you.
So, I mean, some of this you guys already know, but we're going to go over it anyway. And just kind of put it all on the table. There's a likely chance that I have forgotten something important. So if I did, just bug me on social about it. We're on Instagram and LinkedIn. You can just write a mean comment and
I will respond
personally.
And be sure and tag Josh's personal accounts if you write that mean comment.
Oh, no, you don't do that.
Be sure and look up everything you can and tag everything.
And please don't stalk me, please. I'm not that interesting. Anyway, all right, let's start with like the basics, the one that everybody knows about and that everybody does. It's demographic-based targeting. Everybody, especially when you're talking about your personas, you know what kind of age ranges you're looking at. You know what genders you're looking at. And in most places, you can apply targeting that would narrow your adds reach to people within those demographics.
Nice. This applies, I feel like, across the board. Like, we should have demographics for almost any media buy. But talk to me about, on the digital front, some of the unique capabilities here.
Well, I mean, what was slightly annoying is both Facebook and Google, the two giants, define different age ranges differently. So like one might be 24 to 35 and the other one might be like 30 to 49. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I see that on my end too.
It's so obnoxious. So you can never do exactly the same thing. And it's always based on ranges. So you're not going to always be able to target just the 23-year-olds. But whatever. And I think the importance of that is, you know, your destination or your attractions might be more appropriate for people of a given audience. And there are other like demographic type targeting pieces that you can do, especially on Facebook and Instagram, where there's a lot more personal data available, stuff like life events or parental status or income brackets, that kind of stuff. I would consider that all demographic based. Wouldn't you, Sasha? Wouldn't you?
Yes. Affirmative. You're on the right track, Josh.
Thank you. So something to be aware of, and maybe this doesn't always apply specifically to tourism, but there are some rules around demographic targeting, especially on social or even on Google. If you're advertising products that include alcohol, you can't include anyone under the age of 21, especially here in the States. So you might get ads disapproved for that reason. Some other specialty type ads, if like around housing and that sort of thing, you're not allowed to do a lot of very specific targeting because they don't want, you know, discrimination against different people. You also can't target people based on race, which is appropriate to not do.
Yes. Very important.
I don't know, Sasha, are there any other thoughts specifically around demographic targeting that you'd want to put out there? I feel like it's something that should be layered on to just about any ad buy. Any final thoughts there?
Oh, just that almost every traditional media tactic, like we talked about, will utilize demographics. Like, we should at least be honing in on an age. Even if you're running an awareness campaign and you have a really general tactic that is awareness-based, let's still hit our age range. You know, let's still hit the target persona as much as we can. And this is one of the most important for my crew, for your media planning, in my opinion.
Cool. Unfortunately, though, with billboards, you can't really target certain ages or genders because
you can.
No, you can't.
Through your creative messaging, you can resonate with those groups.
Oh, touche. Well played.
Thank you.
Well played.
That felt good.
I'm not even angry. I tried so hard.
I know. I was waiting for it, man. You let me down.
Okay, we're going to move on because, So another type of targeting that is common and especially useful in a couple of certain circumstances would be search-based targeting.
Nice. So what is that, Josh?
Well, you know, it's targeting ads based on keywords that people are searching for. So we talked about PPC in a prior episode, so you know all about this because I taught you everything you know.
Well, let's not get crazy.
Let me have an ego. So yeah, it would be targeting keywords that are common among the type of audience you want to reach. So especially if it's specific to your destination and the type of offerings you have. So definitely that makes a lot of sense. There are some programmatic display platforms that will tap into other search engines so that you can get a little bit more of an intent into your audience. So you could say, I want people who are typing keywords related to things to do in this destination. And then these platforms will find those people who are making those searches and serve them display ads elsewhere.
Nice. So when would you not use it specifically, though?
I kind of think you should always use it. I mean, I think there's always a reason to get in front of people who are actively looking for your destination or things like your destination. You might not always want to bid on your own brand keywords because that could not interfere with what's happening through organic social, but you could end up paying for clicks that you would have gotten anyway through organic social. Organic social? Organic search. Excuse me.
Okay. That made more sense to me. I was like, yeah,
organic search.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So that would probably be the one time you wouldn't want to do that is if you've got really strong SEO, if people are looking for your name specifically, you might as well just let them find you organically rather than paying for it.
Pay for it. Yeah, sure. Nice.
Way to save some budget.
Yeah. What else? What other targeting tactics do you have up your sleeve today?
What else? So much. I think the next one we should talk about would be interest or affinity audiences. So these would be individuals on the internet who, based on their behavior online, are interested in different topics or have an affinity for different things.
Nice.
So, for instance, you like dogs. There's probably an interest group out there that you could target if you've got a great dog park in your destination, and you could add that audience piece to make your ads a little more specific. I think it can get a little overwhelming with the amount of affinity audiences out there. Most ad platforms have them, so you could spend hours digging through the different types of audiences that there are in this category. But look for the ones that are most specific to what you're trying to accomplish with your ad campaign. Nice. That would be my advice there. And you can't get crazy with it.
But. Yeah. That's what I was going to ask. Is there a caution to like how many interests you'd layer on to a certain campaign? Or I don't know, what could be the downside of doing this?
The downside to targeting too many audiences of any type, especially these in one campaign, is most ad platforms will combine audiences through either and or kind of logic. So it could be like nature lovers and dog lovers and cat people. I don't know.
You could just say people. Cat lovers.
No, cat people.
You hate cat people.
No, I have nothing against cats. But in those and situations, it would have to be someone who is a member of every single one of those groups. And that might really narrow your targeting too much if you have them all grouped together with and functions. With or functions, then it's either or. It might be nature enthusiasts or dog lovers. They don't have to be both. And then that would be a little broader.
Yeah, if you're going to get too narrow, you're going to miss out on, you know, some potential leads, right?
Yeah, for sure. And more these days, ad platforms have kind of audience predictors or like reach predictors. So you could put in your geo-targeting and your audience attributes, your demographics, and your budget. And then it'll give you an idea of how many people you can reach. And so you can kind of start to see if you're getting too narrow for the most part. That's not true in all platforms. Google doesn't do a great job of that, but Facebook and some of the other programmatic platforms out there do.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah. In a similar vein, there are in-market audiences, and this is more on the Google side, but this would be people who are in the market for a specific product. So Google specifically has in-market audiences for people researching trips to different major metros. So we're based in Utah, so there's an audience for people who are researching trips for Salt Lake City. And then maybe you're a nearby destination, you want to target them because they're already researching coming, do that. There's a lot of other product-based stuff out there. So if you know that maybe they're looking for a mountain bike, maybe you want to serve them ads for your great trails.
Sure. You mentioned Google being a platform, but also OTAs here, right, come into play, online travel agencies. We do hit in market a lot there.
Yeah, that's true. And they do a pretty good job too of making sure it's intent to travel to those destinations.
Yeah.
You might even be able to do some conquesting intent to travel to your competitors.
Nice.
Which would be fun.
Cool.
If you want to get
Yeah, some of my stuff, you can target people that might be traveling, but it's a little more broad. I feel like it's just people that would be on the road traveling. You can hit them while they're traveling, but it is harder to hone in on, like, they have the intent to come right to your area, unless it's like we talked about at OTA.
Yeah, for sure. One thing I do want to caution everybody on, especially when it comes to the interest audiences or the in-market audiences, some of that is going to be harder and harder to use or to acquire as cookies die. So most of that information in like a programmatic platform is collected by their pixels. Like, let's say, for example, Simplify is a good example of a programmatic provider. A lot of their interest-based audiences are going to be collected by their tracking codes being applied to multiple different websites and then following people from site to site across different domains and then aggregating all that information and bucketing people into audiences. That is going to be much less possible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
as third-party cookies die, which Google has delayed that a little bit. So anybody using Chrome, we're still able to track them fairly well. But if you've seen a decline in the reach of those audiences or the effectiveness of those audiences, that's probably why. The data is probably just not as good or as strong as it used to be.
I'm noticing, Josh, that most websites I go to now are asking me about my cookie preferences. I mean, they don't say that, but tracking, you know, whatever it is, like, this website tracks or uses cookies. Do you want to opt in or look at your preferences? So it's almost annoying because it's every site you go to. And at some point it's like, I just want to look at what I want to look at. Like, do what you need to do. Maybe that's just me.
Yeah, but the whole purpose of that is to give the users control over their own data.
Yeah.
And now in the EU and California, it's a legal requirement to have that stuff, and it's going to become more and more common. So
yeah, great, more so.
Yes, get excited.
Fun.
So with that warning, I think you can still put a little bit of faith in Facebook's demographic and personality info, because everything you do on Facebook, Facebook can track, and that's legal because it's all their own domain. So if you're engaging with different groups or different types of content, that will all still be aggregated and those audiences will still be relatively strong. Same with Google for like search terms and things. Any searches you're doing on Google, they'll keep track of, but they're not going to follow you once you leave the search page.
Okay, I have a story for you. Can we have story time really quick?
Oh.
Because I want to ask you how this was done. So the other night, my husband and I are hanging out at home. His buddy sent him, I think on Facebook, I don't know if it was Messenger or via post, a picture of a kid's multivitamin that he said, hey, worked for my kid. They had had a conversation about it. He went ahead and sent the picture over to my husband. Mm-hmm. Later that night, we watched the new like Star Wars Mandalorian show. Forgot what it's already called. I'm not good with regurgitating that stuff.
The Book of Boba Fett.
Yes, Boba Fett. You're right. Yes. And after that, we watched a YouTube recap, like breaking down the episode. Again, my husband's way into it. On the ad for the YouTube recap that we watched, guess what ad we saw? An ad for that exact same children's multivitamin that he had just received from his friend via, I think, a Facebook message earlier in the day. How is that possible, Josh?
Did your husband like click on the photo or search for information about that?
I don't think so, but maybe if that's how it would work, I'm going to ask him if he had clicked to this website, because that I understand, right? Because from the website, they're going to follow you and serve. But he had just told me, hey, they just sent me this picture and now I'm seeing this ad. But now I need to ask him, did you click on the link? And did you go to the website?
Yeah, because that would explain it for sure.
Because you can't, if he hadn't clicked the link, right? Is there a way you could serve that up from just screening the content? Like, could Facebook see that that was the content being messaged and then serve you?
Facebook could see that, but Google shouldn't be able to see that. And that's where YouTube ads are. So
yeah, okay.
That's interesting.
Interesting. Yeah, yeah. Anyways.
Good story.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After that story time.
Wait, really quick. So would my husband be considered, had he clicked the link to the website, would he be considered in market for the product? Would that be the type of targeting you'd classify?
That, or he'd be in like a retargeting group. So if he clicked on the link, and right now third-party cookies are still working, so Google could see that he was on that site. And then if that company was buying ads, they could retarget him.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool.
There are other platforms out there that do some of the work to cross-address different audiences and connect different device IDs to different behaviors and stuff across platforms. And that gets super complicated, and I would do a poor job of explaining it. So there could be some really high-tech stuff behind it too, depending on how big they are.
Crazy stuff. It's interesting.
Yeah, I think the next one that I want to talk about is pretty obvious and pretty useful for most destination clients. Geotargeting. Targeting users where they are physically.
So cool.
Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, I like this one. Some of my stuff can do this too.
Yeah.
Some of my stuff that kind of overlaps in my world, your world.
Rarely.
OTC? Yeah. That's pretty sick. Yeah. We can geofence. I think we've talked about this, but some OTT partners can actually say, hey, this person in Denver saw your ad and then crossed over into your destination in another state. That's super cool. We can geofence like a geographical location and say, hey, if these people cross into this location, let us know. That's super cool.
That's super
closes
cool.
The gap on TV. Yeah,
it does.
TV reporting.
I think in general, I would classify geofencing or geotargeting as any sort of like virtual field you're placing around a physical address and targeting people within that field. So it could be as wide as an entire state or as narrow as a single household, depending on the targeting you're doing or the programs you're using.
Nice. We also use this tactic on the digital side to partner with traditional media a lot. So we've used this for direct mail. Like when a direct mail piece goes out, we geofence certain addresses and then you serve them display ads, right? So we kind of use it as a backup, like, hey, hit them with another tactic, get the frequency up. We've kind of done that with outdoor too. Like, hey, everybody that passes, you know, some certain outdoor billboard locations, like again, serve them with display. So this is a really fun one. I think it can get really creative.
Yeah. And you can do a lot with it. I think most ad campaigns, unless you have a lot of money, should have some sort of geofence tied to it, because you might not necessarily want to serve your ads to everyone in the country. That might be an entire waste of your dollars. But if your personas are known to live in certain metro areas or neighborhoods, it's a great thing to do.
Totally.
So, and there's not a single ad platform that doesn't allow some form of geotargeting. And in most cases, you can do radiuses or specific zip codes or that sort of thing. But then there are some, like you were referencing with direct mail, we can upload a list of physical addresses.
Yep.
And then it will go draw all the little polygons for us so we can hit individual homes.
Super cool. I like this tactic. And I think on the traditional media side as well, like it's not quite the same, but I mean, we can get pretty granular with geographical targeting. I don't know if we call it geofencing, right? But like we can get down to the zip code and, you know, sometimes the address, like you said, for direct mail, we're like uploading a list. Does that fall kind of, you have that under, I think, another section. But anyways, I think geographically we can get pretty targeted on the traditional side, but not quite as much as you can on the digital side.
Yeah. The inverse of this a little bit is what I've heard called, and I've started to adopt it, geoframing. So not geofencing, but geoframing. And this would be essentially retargeting people based on where they have been in the past.
So what's the difference between just retargeting and geoframing? Because you said it's a type of retargeting. So what's the distinction there?
So typically retargeting would be serving ads to someone who has engaged with your brand before. So whether that's clicked on an ad or been to the website, it's usually something virtual. Geoframing is the ability to collect cell phone device IDs in an area over time and then serve those devices ads later. So
cool.
We use this thing from Foursquare called Factual. And what it allows us to do is either define a set of stores or even a town and say, I can create audiences based on people who have been to that destination in the last 6 months who do not live there. So you can weed out devices that live in the area, but devices that came in and out, we can take and then serve ads to. So use cases, we've used this to target people who have visited our competitors' destinations.
Cool.
Like, oh, maybe you've gone to this nearby town. We're going to convince you to come to our place next. You can also do it with people who have visited your attractions before and get them to come back and visit.
Cool.
This is
a neat one.
Super cool.
Yeah.
I love it.
Nice.
Okay, just a couple more. We're almost there, everybody. Deep breaths.
Almost.
We can do it.
Hang in there, everybody.
We can do it. This next one, these next couple of ones, I think are going to be super important now and into the future as third-party cookies die and we lose more of that user behavior information. So keep these in your back pocket. Start using them now so that as those other audiences start to kind of fade out, you're ready. The first one would be contextual targeting. Are you familiar with that term, Sasha? Contextual?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard it thrown around, but I wouldn't say I'm super familiar. So yeah, what is it, Josh?
It's all about context.
Nice. Oh yeah. My gosh, I would have never guessed.
I'm the worst. Okay, contextual targeting is targeting people based on the places that they are on the internet. So let's say, for example, I can't target people anymore who are nature enthusiasts, but I know nature enthusiasts spend time on outside.com. So I can place ads based on the context of the web pages that our audience members would be visiting. So I would say this is very similar to some of the print buys you would do, where you're buying placements in publications that are very specific to your type of person.
Yep. That's cool. Yeah, I love that. It reads the context on the page and kind of fits the persona to that context.
Yep.
That's super cool.
Yeah. And it works even beyond, like, if you wanted to serve ads on CNN, but you wanted it to be a certain type of context. And you wouldn't want it on every story, but only certain types of stories. It would do that.
Nice. If you're looking for like kid friendly or, you know, you want to exclude certain things, you can do that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's cool.
Weed out adult content and all that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there a scenario where you wouldn't recommend using this and why? Like, what might be the downside of this?
The downside of this is you do risk spending money on people who are not as relevant to you. So there is a chance that maybe I'm a nature enthusiast and I like outside.com, but I share a link with someone who's not part of that demographic group, but I think they might be interested in an article. They're going to click it. They might see the ad, but they're not really who you're wanting. It's less specific to the person and more specific to where they are. So I don't know. I think it's just not quite as thorough as some of that affinity or in-market audience stuff is. But it's something we're going to have to get used to. And I think AI developments and things will make it better. But yeah.
Cool.
Okay. And then finally, you need to start utilizing first-party data better. And so what I mean by first-party data is the information that you have collected about your consumers or your target customers that you own and are not reliant upon third parties and use that to your advantage. So, for example, when you're collecting email lists for your newsletter or what have you, that's a piece of first-party data that you now own and have permission to use. So take that and do more with it. In Facebook and LinkedIn, there are opportunities to upload your email lists so that it can find people who are using those email addresses for their accounts, and then you could target them specifically. There are other opportunities for using phone data or location data that if you collect it specifically, then you can reuse it and it can start to replace some of what you've lost in third-party cookie land.
Nice. Third-party cookie land. I like that.
Yeah. So moral of the story, collect and hang on to as much data as you possibly can. Work with your marketing team, whether they're in-house or not, to leverage them to the best of their abilities.
Nice. Yeah, very important, everything you talked about, Josh, because the more targeted you are in your media buy, just the better performance and outcome you're going to have. And so I think utilizing, if you're not familiar with some of these tactics, definitely get familiar and give them a go this year.
Yeah. And again, if I missed something, just yell at me on social media.
Yeah. Feel free to yell at Josh on social media. That sounds fun. Can I get on that bandwagon?
Sure. Sasha, where will they yell at us?
LinkedIn, Instagram, and TikTok.
Yeehaw.
All three.
All right. Yeehaw. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good week.
Thanks. Bye.